What's going on, everybody? On this week's podcast, we brought back friend of the show and New York native Daryl Wong. We talked to Daryl about his lifelong love for the Knicks and the new rivalry that they've got in New York with the star-studded Nets. We got into it with Daryl about his playing career internationally, some wild-ass stories about babies and sweetbreads, which you'll definitely want to hear, and his personal Mount Rushmore players. So without further ado, here's our conversation with Daryl. Hope you enjoy. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Hoops Corner. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, the banger in the paint, Rajan Walia. How you feeling?
You know what? It's a beautiful day in Toronto, I'm excited to get one of our longtime guests here to talk about a team that doesn't get enough love.
I like the way you put that. We got Daryl Wong back on the pod, New York native, made me pull up my Yankees fitted just for this. Just to show some New York love, make you feel at home, you know? How you doing, Daryl?
A little bit, man. A little bit. Appreciate y'all having me back on the podcast, man. I mean, definitely peeped that before, New York fitted. Got to rep home, even though I live in Canada now. But still, always
for me. How excited are you about this team, man? Just go off. This is your time to just do whatever you want with this Knicks team. Go off.
It's my 15 seconds of fame. Talk about my New York Knicks.
You're going to turn into like 20 minutes.
Let me tell you, man, I don't want to jinx nobody, but, you know, I'm not going to say we're title contenders, but, you know, I mean, I won't be surprised if I'm going to a parade.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, okay. Nah, let me stop now. I'm just happy we're about to again.
That's your 15 seconds of daydreaming.
There you go. That's more like it. Yeah, I'm just happy we're relevant again. And they're looking good. Tibbs is showing that he can still coach, which is cool. Randall's showing everybody that he should never been traded. And I'm hoping they get some more pieces in there. Worldwide West and Leon Rose have been doing a good job so far this year. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do in the offseason.
Did you have like high expectations going into this year? Just because they brought in Worldwide West and Leon Rose? Like, were you optimistic about it?
No, not at all. Because as long as James Dolan still owns that team, there's going to be a way he fucks it up. Like, you know what I mean? Even right now, I'm still a little bit concerned because the players haven't started yet. I'm like, man, he's going to do something. He's going to, like, fire somebody or ban, I don't know, half the team from the building so they can't play and just forfeit the rest of the games in the season. I don't know. He just finds a way just to mess everything up. So until the season's over and I was like, all right, we made the playoffs. And we lost, I guess. Like, all right, that was a good year. Then I'll be like, all right, cool. Let's keep building on that. As of right now, I'm still a little bit worried in my heart because, like, James Dolan is just, like, incompetent.
So what were the expectations going into the season? Obviously, it's similar to the team you brought back last year, different coach. And I think you got rid of a few pieces that were players that you signed one-year deals, seeing how that experiment worked, like the Taj Gibsons and whatnot. But what were the expectations for the Knicks, like, before the season started?
Lottery. I'm being all honest. Like, all right, it's gonna be another lottery year. You know what I mean? But I was very, very happy, surprised. I was happy about it. I don't know how much to explain about it like that. Like, I was just like, oh, I could watch these games again. You know what I mean, I started following back the Knicks account again.
Did you unfollow them? I could be
happy. Well, you know how bad it was? The Knicks Instagram in the past used to fake you out because, like, they'll show these highlight clips. I'm like, oh, man, they must have had a really good game tonight. And I'll go, like, to the box score, and they got blown up by 20. But they only showed the clips where they had this nice dunk or they hit the three-point. I'm like, yo, man, like, I lost by 20. You shouldn't even post nothing today. Like,
you just want their social to stay silent when they lose?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just, like, don't post nothing. Just black screens. Yeah. You understand? You're mourning right now, right? But now, you know, I follow them again. Like, all right, cool. You know, I mean, they show that dunk. I'm like, all right, I actually probably won, so you can show that dunk. Something to be proud of, right? And I'm really happy for Randall. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people were down on him, and he was just going to be like a bench player. And he had an all-star caliber year. And I just hope they don't see him as like a trade piece. I hope they see him as more of a building piece and keep him around. Because the Knicks are known for doing dumb shit like that. So hopefully this works out.
So what was the thing that led to their success this year? Like, what was the X factor? Like, you mentioned, like, probably a lot of Knicks fans, the success is a bit of a surprise. But what made them be successful as a team?
Well, you got to give credit to Leon Rose and their team for bringing in. I think they wiped out a lot of the personnel in the office to bring in their people. And then Tibbs is a good hire because he is very defensive sound and he doesn't give guys breaks. And a lot of players that play for him always speak highly of him about how he's always going to push you and he's not going to take no shit from you, right? And I feel like he's not – I'm not trying to be buddy-buddy. I'm trying to win. You know what I mean? And this is what it takes to win. Even though he hasn't won a championship yet, but like he's had success of almost getting there, right? And coming from a team that was like, we're competing to be top five in lottery every year. It's like, I could guarantee you if you do this way, we'll get to the playoffs. It's like, yeah, cool. I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? What you want me to dive from full court to the other side of the court? Fuck it. I'm going to do it. Like, you know what I mean? So you have that type of level of leadership, I think is good. I'm just sad that it took so long to get like this. Like I was saying earlier, you know what I mean? Fingers crossed to stay like this, but ain't no telling because that man of doom is still upstairs.
Man upstairs. Man, it's tough with Tibbs too because, like, I don't know. The one thing that I'm sure you're aware, like you're kind of worried about it too, is if he runs anyone into the ground, right? Like, we all remember when Derrick Rose got injured against Philly in that playoff series. Chicago was up by like 15 or 20 points with like a minute and a half left in the game, you know? Like, it was one of those situations where you would have pulled your stars at that point. And, like, we all talk about how much Tibbs is like a grinder and is one of those guys that makes sure that, you know, the team gives it all they got. But, I don't know, hopefully he's like figured out how to manage like players and their injury and their rest time too, right? Because you never know what could happen in the playoffs or even before it. Hopefully he doesn't play Randall like 72 games or whatever the expectation is, you know?
Nah, man, nah. Play them in 94 games. Play them an extra 10 games after the season. Man. They're all young. They're all talented. Like, see, the thing is, as an athlete, man, they're young. It's not like you burn out. Like, somebody like, you take like a LeBron James right now, yeah, you need to kind of monitor his minutes. He's on the older side. He's coming out of his prime. Even though, you know what I mean, he is a freak of nature, like, but he's still coming on the outside of his prime, right? So, like, I can't – you can always – you know, 2020 is hindsight. They say you can always look back when something goes wrong, like, oh, man, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that. You should have taken him out. But, like, Derrick Rose is what, 24, 25 at the time?
Yeah,
was a supreme athlete, MVP or coming off the MVP or whatever like that. So it's like, yeah, man, get your stats up. You know what I mean? Keep going. You know, I think you're going to blow out both knees. You know what I mean? Who sees that coming, right? So, like, of course, everybody could blame. I don't blame a man for that. Like, I don't blame him at all for that. Because they get rest on the road. It's not like they was like, oh, he's super tired and he blew out his knee because he was barely making up down the court. It was like, nah, the man was probably like two plays before just jumped over somebody and dunked. Mm-hmm. Just went up for a basic layup like he always do. And, like, his knee just went the other way. And it was just a freak accident, right? So I don't blame him for that. I mean, you push these young athletes as much as they can because they want to play, right? And your vets, you walk them through because they're on one foot out the door. Like, yeah, Randall and them, man, keep them playing. What's RJ Barrett? Play as much as you can, man. I'm actually happy for him because I thought the media was going to tear that boy alive. You know what I mean? He comes from Toronto and you on the back page of the New York paper every night, they will eat you alive. So I'm happy things are going well for him because this is his
second year.
This is the year when they kill you. They're like, oh man, he ain't shit. Trade him.
he's also taken a lot of pressure away from Kevin Knox, who didn't pan out to be the player that they wanted him to be, I think. And he, again, when your team's winning, it solves a lot of problems. Like, if this team was a lottery team again, I think a lot of people would look at, is he worth one of the top five picks in the NBA draft? Like, is he a bust? Like, and it starts putting doubt. So I'm happy for him. A kid from Canada seems to have a good head on his shoulders.
Well, it's hard to call some of these kids busts. Like, even after their second, third, sometimes fourth year, because it's like they come out so early. So by their fourth year, sometimes the third year, they're like 22 years old. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
But that shit gets to you,
imagine.
Though. It gets to you. Like, if people are labeling you that, and like a game like basketball, a lot of it's confidence, right? Like confidence that you can beat your man, like get your shot up. Like, a lot of these players can hit 1,000 shots a day in the basketball court. But when it comes to a game, a lot of it's what's in your mind. And I'm happy for him. Again, like, this is a big career break for him. And winning is just winning. Like, even if he's not the biggest piece, like Randall, he's still a huge piece for their team and is a big piece going forward.
Yeah. No, it's good for another. Oh, I wish they could have kept Dennis Smith Jr. I really liked him. I watched him in high school. He's from the North Carolina area. And I knew he was going to be a pro. Thought he was going to be a big star. But, like, that's a good point. Confidence does that to you because he was doing well his rookie year with Dallas, but then that fucking European phenom walked through that door and was like, well, you know what? You got to get back, right? And they had no issues, but then the media started poking about, like, oh, can they play together, stuff like that. So management made decisions like, all right, well, all hail Luka, we're going this direction, which was a correct boat to back. You ship him off to New York, and then it was just like throwing him to the beast, throwing him to the wolves when he's already injured. So, you know, his pride's already hurt, and you're throwing him into a worse situation. And, I mean, I watched him play some games, and he was solid, but it was just like, you know, he's still trying to grow. He was, what, 20, 21 years old or something like that? And they were just talking about he's a bust, and this, that, to the third. It's like, that's tough on a kid. Like you said, confidence plays a big role, no matter how talent show off. Your confidence ain't there. You're not going to shoot the same, you know what I mean? So, it's kudos to him because I forgot where they traded him to.
Detroit.
Released him to, but then – Detroit. Yeah. Now he's in the G League. And he asked to go to the G League so he can start building his confidence and back up. And that takes
courage.
A lot. You have to be on that level and ask to be put down there so I can build myself back up. Because it's liable, like, once his contract goes up, he might not get another shot in the league again.
Yeah, for sure. So back to the Knicks. This team, let's say Tom Thibodeau is playing those starters 40 minutes a game. How far do they go when they make the playoffs? Let's say they're in the current seed. Like, are they a team that's really going to push one of the top teams in the East, like the teams like the Nets or the 76ers? Maybe.
Oh, we're beating the Nets. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you exactly how it's going to go. This is not dream, it's reality. All right, first of all, KD ain't coming back. He's too big on the Twitter fingers right now. He's not even, you know what I mean? He's out for this year. Kyrie's going to take a sabbatical because, you know what I mean, who knows what's going on with his head. And then Blake, he's trying to jump too much. You know, them knees are bad, so he's going to pop a tire. And then Aldridge is solid. I don't think people give Aldridge enough credit, even though he's on a downsized career. He's still a solid player because just a year ago he was averaging under 20. And then you got James, right? I feel if it's just those two, we got a shot. That's what's going to happen. We're going to beat the Knicks. Man. Like, oh, my God. Knicks are great again. New York, everything. You know what I mean? And then, you know, Giannis, as long as we can meet Giannis in the Eastern Conference Finals, he's going to flail out. You know how he gets. We're going to build the wall up. You know what I mean? And he's going to be past that. So he'll be out. And then we're going to need a chip. You know what I mean? Then I'm going to have a hard decision because it's going to be LeBron against my Knicks. I'm going to have to go to my Knicks. So
then you can just start planning the parade.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what I mean? No matter how bad COVID is, they can lock down the borders all they want. I'm going to get there. Somehow, some way.
Just take that 9-hour drive, man. You'll be right there.
I'll be fist pumping with a bottle of Hennessy in my hand.
You and five other million people.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, where would a parade actually go in New York? Because the city is so damn big, you know? Like, theoretically, where would this happen?
I believe Uptown. That's where they did the Giants.
The Giants. Okay.
I've never been to Yankee Parade. I've never actually been to the Giants Parade. Both times they won a championship. Yeah. One time I was in college, and I asked my coach, and he was like, no.
Just straight
up. I was like, please. It's a championship. And he's like, no. And then the next time I was overseas, and I went to the team and I was like, yo, can I go to the parade? And it was like, no. I mean, he said it in another language, but it was like, no. And I was like, well, I'm a grown ass man. I'm going to do what I want. I'm buy my own ticket. And it was like, well, you'll be fired.
Ooh.
So,
well, shit.
So I miss both parades.
That's fair. What was your. Okay, since we were talking about confidence earlier, did you ever have issues with confidence when you were playing overseas or in college? Like, was there ever a time when you were like, like, shit, I'm out of my league here kind of thing?
Not out of my league, but like two times I can remember when confidence was an issue. It was part of my freshman year in college. I'll start with that one. My coach was the devil. Ring Carter and this guy named Stitt. Great guy, though. Great guy. Just as a coach was the devil. Because he would just take all confidence from you. Like, we had – we used to start practice, like, around the circle that's in the court, and we have a defensive quote, officer quote, and a team quote. And then, you know what I mean, he'll say some words, or put your hands in, do some go team shit, and then we'll start practice. And he used to start practice, if not all the time, but it was a lot of times to start practice, like look to your left, look to your right. He's like, look where you're at. He was like, I need to appreciate this moment, because this is as good as going to get for any of y'all. None of y'all going to make fun. You're not good at it. You should be happy that I recruited y'all here. All right? All right, let's have a good practice. And he'd be like, what? Killing you. Like, that's how you start practice sometimes, right? Yeah. I've seen him do shit like, I'm trying to get a little color to the story so you can see where it was at when I tell you what he did to me. But like, I see him like, we're in a packed gym, band's going crazy, Chili's going crazy, crowd going crazy, the timeout, and come to the bench, and he's just going off. He's yelling at the starting point guard. He's like, man, he was like, he's like, what the fuck are you doing out there? You ain't shit. It's like, why? It's like, no, I'm sorry. It's my fault. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I'm the dumb person that recruited you to bring you here. And he looks at the backup point guard and looks at him and says, hey, you're fucking worse than him. And he's like, all right, yeah, put your hands up. Right? So it was like stuff like that. So he used to mess with me. He used to be like, he used to call me Buffalo. He's like, you're not from New York, you're from Buffalo. So, and he'll just say, like, I'll come. He's like, Darryl, you're soft. I'll come to your hood and run your shit. Like, oh my god, I want to fight this guy so bad. So there was a game, I broke a record. Oh, I can't remember who we were playing. Anyway, we was at home. It was my freshman year. I subbed in the game. It was like 11 set. No, 30 or 40 seconds. I dropped 11 points. Three threes, head fake, boom to the basket. 11 points in like 40 seconds, crowd going crazy. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going career high this game. Like, it's going to be on the popping, groupies going to be with it. It's going to be my night. And then like on a break and the guard's coming at me full steam, I'm backpelling, makes an in-out move, gets me to the rack. And I'm like, all right, so I'm backpelling defense, a foul happens. We're going to the line and you hear that, Didn't think nothing of it. Until I get the tap on my shoulder, like, yo, D, I got you. And I'm like, you got who? I only been in the game for like a minute, and I dropped 11 buckets, all right? Like, we have to lead right now because of me. I know I'm not getting subbed out. I'm not tired. I'm like, what's going on? So I walk to the bench. I'm like, yo. Like, I got my hands like, and all I could say was yo. And before I could say anything more, he was like, you let that motherfucker go by you. It's like, you're not going to play no more rest of the game. Go to the end of the bench. Bench me. The rest of the game.
Oh, wow.
The rest of the game. And I'm watching all this stuff like that. And, you know, people coming up to me at the game. Oh, yeah, such a good game. Why ain't playing no more? And I'm like, yo. Like, I don't know. So it was like things like that happened a lot during my freshman year. So like some games I wouldn't even shoot sometimes. I'd be like, yo, I don't want to get taken out. I'm happy to be in the game. I don't want to be taken out. So I got over that by my second year, but it was – that used to be an issue my freshman year. And then the next time that happened, I was in Argentina getting paid really well. The team brought me in. Like when they bring you in, they sit you down, you have like a meeting with the managers, and the coach, stuff like that, and they give you your breakdown, what they want you here for, right? So I was always a scorer. Not like, I wasn't like no James Harden type scorer, but I was a good scorer and I was a shooter. And I was like, yo, we don't need you to score. Don't need you to shoot. We need you to play defense and, you know, get some buckets here and there. But like, we have a solid group of scorers and stuff like that. We had two national team players on the team. We had a former MVP of the league on the team. We had a really solid team of people that could score. So I'm like, it's not what I want to hear. But then, like, you know what I mean? They'll pay me a really good check. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, fuck it. I want to win a championship here. Let's do it. And it was stuff like they would bench me. Some games, and then we would lose, and they'll blame it on the Americans. There's three of us on the team. Coach would be like, yo, it's y'all fault, we lost. And for my two American teammates, Josh and Jerome, which is bullshit because they played well. Jerome was the most dominant big man in the league, and they wouldn't even play him in the fourth quarter. But, like, they played the game. He would come to me and be like, Darryl, you're disappointed. Like, we lost because of y'all. And I'm like, how? The most action I got tonight was in warm-ups when I was stretching. Like, how? The fuck is this my fault? And then I'll play another game, have a good game. And then I'll never forget when we played this one team. And we're getting smacked. We're down by like 15, 20. So he calls my number. Before I go, he's like, oh, Darryl, man, I just need you to go score. We need buckets. I need you to go score. I'm like, all right, cool. Get in the game. Go up and down the floor probably like twice. Ball gets swung to me in the corner. And I drop to baseline, take the shot, miss it, go down the court, sub down. One shot. I'm like, I look at him like, yo, what the fuck is going on? And he don't even look at me, he don't say nothing to me. So I go down, sit next to my teammates. I'm like, yo, what did I do wrong? I run the play wrong? So he's like, nah, you weren't out there long enough to do anything wrong, honestly. So my confidence was shot. That's the first half. And this will help me get over it because my confidence was shot. I was like, man, maybe I'm just not good. Because at this point in time, RT is one of the top leagues in the world. And I was like, maybe I'm just not good enough to play in this league. Maybe he's seen something I don't see. But then the halftime situation happened. I was like, and then I realized, like, okay, this is nothing to do with me. Because he started yelling at the point guard who was on a national team for Argentina. He was like, yo, you're shooting too much. You got to pass the ball around. And he got up and just like strong armed him, like held him up. I was like, y'all do the fuck I want. Threw him down. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, there's no way you're going to put him back in the game. Nope. Started the second half, like nothing fucking happened. I was like, oh, so you a bitch. You know what I mean? The cow. So now I'm just going to treat you like that for the rest of the time here. So I just treated him like he wasn't shit to me no more. Like you were gum on my shit. Yeah. So long story short, I didn't last on a team that much longer after that.
I was going to say, you're okay if you're a national, but if you're a foreigner, they're not going to like that shit either way.
Nah, yeah. Because, well, Agent used to tell me, he's like, it was always easier to get rid of one instead of 12.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But like after that point, after that situation, I was like, I never lost confidence in myself the rest of my pro career ever again because I'm like, just do your game. Like, a lot of shit's politics have nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
But those are the two times I can remember where I was having issues with my confidence because I was like, yo, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. I'm sure for the young guys, too, like coming into the league, like they were the number one on their college team. Like, they were the shit. Like, they were taking the shot. They're holding the ball late in the quarter or late in the shot clock. And then going to an NBA team and not being that top dog, it's like a different mindset. You kind of have to like recalibrate. And if you're hearing a lot of outside noise, I'm sure it definitely gets to you. And like you said, you thought about, hey, I shouldn't shoot the ball because like I don't want to come off the court right now. Like I'm sure some of these players, Ben Simmons maybe, is thinking the same thing when he's thinking about putting a shot up.
Yeah. I mean, but there's ways coaches go about it because like I played for a coach before who he used to coach the Raptors for a little while, Mike Evans. And he was telling me, he explained to me in terms, he was like, yo, I'm going to get you an NBA shot when I get another NBA coaching job. But he explained to me in terms like, you're not good enough to be a great player in the league. He's like, you're good enough to be in a league, but not a great player in the league. And the way he broke it down to me wasn't like to hurt my confidence or pride. It made me accept it. It was like, I still got to work, but like, I get what you're saying. And he was just like, the way he broke it down was like really simplistic, but also not enough to like hurt your confidence or hurt your pride, right? And certain coaches know how to do that to give you a reality check with, but still be able to build you up. And there's other coaches that are just shit at it. They just don't care. They just want to make you feel like shit, right? So I feel like the good ones know how to do it the correct way.
Yeah. So speaking about reality checks, let's talk about the Nets, the other team in New York or the Bronx and
Stepbrothers of New York.
Exactly. But how has that been? Like, are you hearing a lot more people like in your friend group, family, suddenly rocking Nets jerseys, talking about how good this team has been? Or
everybody's all of a sudden a Nets fan. Like, yo, man. Never used to hear nothing about the Nets, anything like that. You know what I mean? They get KD and Kyrie. It's like, oh, my God, Brooklyn this, Brooklyn forever. I'm like, yo, I mean, you from Queens. What are you talking about Brooklyn forever, man? I'm like, Brooklyn, where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn? out of here. Fucking bandwagons. No, they're a good team, though. They are a good team. I'm not a fan of them for obvious reasons, but they are a very good team. They're going to be a hard team to beat and overcome. But this year, I feel, is the year to really get them because they haven't played together enough. And somebody's always out, somebody's always injured. And then, like, people don't understand, as much as people say, like, oh, man, they have a lot of talent on the team, which they do, it also comes with a lot of egos. And I never heard anything about Aldridge with his ego or anything like that. He seemed like he'll fit in fine. Blake has an ego, though. You know what I mean? You already know KD, James, and Kyrie's ego is like enough for everybody in that locker room. But they are all great players. So if they are able to make it mesh together, it'll be a very tough out. You know what I mean? They're definitely the favorites. If they're all healthy and they are able to play together, they're a hard team to beat. This is so much talent.
See, when LaMarcus Aldridge left Portland, like I think it was 2012, 2013 or something like that, it was actually because Damian Lillard was getting all the love in the city. So if you drove around Portland, you would see like Lillard's picture on like all the billboards. He was getting all the ads and shit. And LaMarcus is like, yo, I've been here for like 6 years. Where's the love? And then, that's actually why he left. He just stopped getting love and he got jealous of Lillard.
Well, it's hard for big men to get love over guards. You know what I mean? It's very, like, even if you look at the Shaq and Kobe dynamic, as big and as great as Shaq was, people talk about Kobe more. You know what I mean? And given Kobe might have more championships than him, but, like, I'll put it from a kid standpoint. Don't nobody want to rock the big man sneakers. You know what I mean? I want the guard sneakers. I mean, you don't want to see the big man in a dunk contest. He's already 7 foot. You want to see the smaller guard in the contest because, like, he's flying when he jumps, right? So guards are always going to get more love than big men. It's just an easier marketing appeal. But I could get how that will bother you. It's like, yeah, I've been here for 6 years carrying this franchise. This new guy coming, I got no problem with him. He's a nice guy. He's a great player. But it's like, you know, all my ads are gone now. This guy been here for like a year or two. He's just throwing him up over me. Like, now it's his team. And I'm like, yo, really? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'd be salty too, right? So you know how earlier in the year, Kyrie left for like 2 weeks, right? Didn't say a word. He just like sort of dipped. Another news reports came out that like he didn't tell Steve Nash. Mm-hmm. Is that like a thing? I remember when it happened, obviously Twitter and Clubhouse and all that kind of stuff, it was all like defending Kyrie, saying how, you know, this sort of thing happens in locker rooms all the time. Who knows who he told and blah, blah, blah. But I figured it's the head coach and the GM who don't know. It's kind of an issue no matter who you're telling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It happens like this. I've seen it happen a couple of times in my career. Like I seen a player steal the team van and bounce. Oh. Like, he just bounced. Like, nobody knew. Like, come out for practice and the van's gone. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, what happened, right? But, stole the team van and bounced. There's been players that, like, I know a player, I went, who's that? I was in the Middle East, I believe. And I was playing his team. I was like, oh, where's such and such? It was like, come to find out, such and such flew back to America. You know, I mean, to handle some stuff. And then flew back probably like a week later or something like that. Didn't tell nobody, just went to the airport and dip. I mean, it happens. You know, I mean, it could be, it's like, people have lives, man. People are people. Things affect them in different ways. And, like, if something important's happened to you, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If your wife got sick, you know what I mean, God forbid, and you choose at work, you're not like, yo, I got checking with my boss and leaving. Like, you like, if it's an emergency, you like, I'm out. So, you know what I mean? Stuff like that happens. It's not like somebody just like, yo, I'm just going to dip on everybody and go to a beach for some margaritas and not tell nobody. You know, check my Instagram and you find where I'm at. It's more so like something important to them really happened and they're just not thinking about anybody else and they're just like, yo, I gotta go solve
what
this.
What if it's like your sister's birthday party, you know what I mean? Is that good? Is that good enough to just dip for a couple of weeks?
Is my sister's birthday party? I mean, maybe not a couple of weeks. I mean, you've dipped like for a day or two.
Yeah.
For travel reasons, maybe so, but like, it was more than just that for him. Like, I mean, Kyrie's a different dude, man. You know, I mean, he's a different type of dude. So what affects him mentally, you know, I mean, is different from other people. So ain't no telling what goes on in that man's mind. So I can't say, like, you know, they try to depict like this sister's party was the reason why he left, but that might have just been a way for him to decompress. Okay, he probably left for other reasons. And then that New York media is a, I don't understand, man. It's just a different beast. Even in COVID right now, it's still a different beast. Like, they just be asking you off the ball questions. You know what I mean? You're not in Cleveland, you're not in Boston anymore, you're in New York. The paparazzi level is just different. You know what I mean? They be in your garbage can. They don't stay outside the window and see you fucking. Like, they just everywhere, man. It's like rats. You just can't get rid of them. Rats and cockroaches everywhere.
Oh, like
that could be just because that's why a lot of players that play in New York, they live in Jersey.
Less cameras,
less people. I mean, yeah, it's like not as cluttered and focused in things of that sort, right? So,
speaking about the Nets, like, do you think they went a bit too far with the star power? Like, we talked about LMA, Blake, they obviously had KD and Kyrie at the start of the season, and like they just have literally not even a super team. Like, this is like a Thanos of basketball. And did it go a bit too far as a fan? Like, do you see that as a problem for you?
If I'm a GM or if I'm an owner, if I could build an all-star team, I'm building an all-star team. Like, I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care. Like, oh, man, this ain't fair. Tough shit. Like, I want rings. Like, I want 20 years from now, but like, man, They had the fucking Avengers. Like, of course nobody could beat them. It wasn't fair. Like, yeah, it wasn't fair. I'm the best. Like, I don't care who you are. I don't care how you play. Don't nobody go into any game or competition like, man, I hope this comes down to the wire. Man, I hope, you know what I mean? Like, if you're competing, I don't hear nobody's like, yo, I'm about to race my best friend. I hope it comes down to the wire. I'll win by an inch. I'm like, nah, if I could fucking win by a mile, I want to win by a mile. Let y'all deal with the burdensome of everything else, right? So I get that from a GM
and from the owner. Nets perspective.
Yeah. Now, as players, like, you know, I mean, Blake, somebody like, yo, he probably is not going, he's not the same player he was no more because of all the injuries. So he's like, yo, it's the opportunity for me to win a championship. And if he's able to understand that in his head, he'll be a great piece of that team. Aldridge is like, all right, yo, I'm just trying to get in a good situation. I'm trying to, same thing, chasing. Get a championship. It's those two, I don't think it will be the issue per se, if they could get their mentality right. It's KD,
James Kyrie.
And Kyrie. Because Kyrie feels like, yo, I'm better than LeBron. And KD feels like, I'm better than LeBron. And James just feels like, yo, son, I'm the best. Right? Yeah. And it's like trying to build, put those egos in, like it's a hard thing to do. Like, especially in the NBA, when you play pro, it is a player driven league. So the stars have so much say. And then when the media starts, like, God forbid, if they lose, oh my God, they're going to get torn apart. That's going to be a hard thing to like block out. Like what happened to LA Clippers last year? That started all types of shit in their locker room. All types of shit, because it's like they start, you're a grown man. We're cool with this. You know what I mean? We hang out, stuff like that. And all of a sudden you start hearing from the tabloids like, yo, Darryl's talking hella shit about Raj. You don't like how he was talking about him on the, how he talked about the Nets on the podcast, stuff like that. But like, I never said no shit like that to you. But you start hearing that shit from outside sources. The next time you see me, you start looking at me a little bit funny. And then I might say something to you that you might not like because you got that in your head. Yeah. And now we got an issue. So it's like a lot of stuff gets started like that. So that whole environment could really blow up if they're not mentally strong enough. And I feel the three heads aren't. You know what I mean? KD might be able to deal with it, but Harden has got rid of every superstar he's had. He had some shape, form of problem with.
I think KD and Kyrie wouldn't have a problem with it because they've been there before, right? And they sort of know what you have to do and sort of the role you have to play with other superstars. But like you said, like Harden, well, I think so. KD does for sure.
KD had a problem with Golden State.
Yeah, I think KD got bored, man.
He know how to play. He's a walking bucket. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like he left a great situation because he felt like, oh, you weren't showing me enough love. Yeah, I wasn't number one. It wasn't my team.
I don't know about that. I felt like KD left because the narrative around him was that he was weak, that he joined something that was already good, and that he wanted to rewrite the narrative that he's joining something that isn't established and he's going to bring it up.
Well, that failed. You got a fucking, you got a Monstar squad now. So, yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, if that was your decision, like, yo, you should just stay in Golden State.
He's not a very good GM. You know, he's inconsistent. No.
But the interesting thing is the Nets better hope that they're not in any close games, because I'm thinking of a situation where it's like game five, game six in a closeout game. And who is taking that last shot? And I want to see the reaction when, like, let's say KD doesn't get the ball and James ends up driving and kick it to Kyrie, and maybe Kyrie misses. And I just see KD looking up at the scoreboard, the box score, like a bit confused, like, how come I didn't get the ball? And they better hope they blow out every team.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we'll wait and see what's going to happen with that. Like, I'm hoping that Embiid comes back healthy and strong, because I think that'll be a great matchup with them. They're rolling on all cylinders when they're healthy. They're looking very good this year. And then, and I was making jokes about Giannis earlier, but like, in all reality, he's a hell of a player, like a hell of a player. And he's right at the cusp of being there. And they're not an easy out, right? It's not like, oh, you're going to come in, it's going to blow this team out. They're not an easy out. So if they match up and all it takes is doubts to get in there, like I said, you just look at the Clippers last year. Clippers were a very good team. They were up 3-1. And once you start losing some games and that pressure starts building up, it can implode, and like them questions come down. It's like, yo, I should have took the shot. No, I should have took the shot. And now that friction starts. That's all it takes, man. Like, I've seen teams blow up. Like, it only takes that. So, man, I'm gonna laugh so hard if they lose. I'm gonna laugh so hard if they don't make it to the chip. Yeah. Because at least if you lose to LeBron, it's like,
I think it's almost worse. Because they like, if LeBron beats this super team, I think LeBron's legacy is cemented.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
All Gerald's.
Well, first of all, his legacy is cemented already.
No, but it's like, a different level. Like, it's like almost untouchable. Like,
yeah, it'll be hard. It'll be hard for anybody to be like, oh, Jordan's better than him. If he went against Brooklyn in the finals and beat them, I listened to a talk show earlier today. It was Jay Williams was talking about. He was like, name a team like that Jordan went through. No, I mean, like, legit name a team like that Jordan went through.
Mm-hmm. Like that? Nothing even close to that.
Not even close to anybody. Yeah. No. There's no team like that Jordan's ever went through. And for LeBron, at the age he's at right now, to be able to win that, when three of the top five superstars on the team are in their prime.
Yeah.
That's that's hard to argue, man. You could say, oh, he's lost in the final six times. It's like, yo, he fucking took down Thanos. Like, you know what I mean? I don't care what he did before that. So that's it's tough to argue.
I don't even know the exact number off the top of my head, but that team has at least over 80 All-Star appearances.
That stuff is skewed, though, man, because LaMarcus Aldridge isn't nearly the same player. Blake Griffin isn't the same player.
Like, the experience.
Just last year, he was averaging 19.
Yo, have you seen this?
He was averaging 19.
Have you seen this man this year? This dude can barely get up the floor, D. Like, I know, I understand the situation.
I haven't watched this year, so I can't say for that.
It's one of those situations, like, you know when a guy is checked out of the team, right? Like, if he doesn't have a big role out there, or if, you know, it's just, like, the chemistry just isn't there. You can see someone checking out, so obviously he checked out. But at the same time, man, this dude can barely get up the floor. He looks like he's overweight. I mean, he's a liability defensively now, to be honest, because he can't really move his feet. And he was never really a good, like, rim protector. So I don't think LaMarcus Aldridge is going to have a big impact on this team. I think Jeff Green's going to play down the stretch more than Aldridge.
But even so, he can still shoot.
Yeah.
Excuse me, he can spread the floor, which leaves the paint open for everybody else to drive. True. Right? He can shoot and Blake can shoot. And even if he's not the same caliber of play he once was, you still have to keep an eye out for him because he is...
He's a threat.
A former... So he's someone of threat and respect.
Yeah.
And the basketball IQ doesn't leave you, right? Like that's it's the fact that he's played in situations where it's the games are on the line. He has the ball in his hand. He knows what to do. He knows what's expected of him. Like that's why when people play at a level like you did, like even though maybe your athleticism drops and like maybe your individual skills, like the IQ is still there. Not saying it happened to you though. Not saying it happened.
Oh no, it happened to me. Yeah, it ain't gonna hurt my feelings. I know what it is. You know, it's actually funny. This director I work with, cool dude, he's shooting a commercial Thursday, and he hit me up. He's like, "Yo, can you are you cool with being in the commercial and just like, you know, I'm shooting the background?" And I was like, I had to ask him all these questions. I'm like, "Well, do I got to dunk? Like, you know what I mean? Like, because I don't want you coming on set, bring me on set. Like, all right, Darryl, we need you to like." Do a 360. You need to do this something. I'm like, because that's not happening. Because the last time I shot a basketball is when we was playing. Peter, was
last like, summer. August, yeah. September.
The last time I touched a ball, shot a basketball, anything. And even then, I only dunked because Richard kept begging me. I remember my wife sending a picture to Richard. Later on that day, like, he broke my husband. Cause I was like, I'm laying on the floor. Got ice on my back. Ice on both of my knees.
Icy hots everywhere.
He's like, yo. Yeah, it's like you broke my husband. It's like, yo. So I was like, I tell him like, yo, I'm not dunking. He's like, no, I just want you to shoot. Now, then there you go with the confidence shit. Cause I'm like, damn, I haven't shot a basketball in fucking a year almost. I'm like, man, it's like, yo, you got to hit shots. Fuck that. Right. So like, even today, I'm like, I'm going to the park and get some shots up. Like, you know what I mean? Try to get some of the rust off.
You got to get ready for your background.
Yeah. I embarrass myself on set, right?
Bring some ice packs, man.
Oh yeah. You ain't worried about that. Those be on deck.
Dude, I was going to show up to the shoot in like full gear. No Tims, no jeans. Legit, just tights and basketball shorts.
I'm actually acting like a little semi-diva because it's supposed to be cold on Thursday. Yeah. And we're shooting outside. So I'm like, yo, I'm not wearing shorts. Yeah,
it's bad for the knees, but, man.
Like, yeah, I got to be comfortable out there, man. Like,
yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, it's no problem. It's no problem. Nice dude, though. Super nice dude. So, yeah, it's when your athletic skill and everything starts falling off, it becomes evident. And then you try to deny it as long as you can. But for me, I can't speak for everybody. For me, it's when somebody respects, says it to you, you're like, fuck. Like, all right. It's time. All right. I'm not saying
that. I've never seen you play, so I can't say anything about that.
He's washed up. Don't worry about him.
Yeah. That's for Peter. You respect Peter?
I'll put it like this. If you saw me on the court, you'd be like, oh, he's good. Like, he'd be like, oh, he's tall. I will stand out with regular ballers. Yep. This is average, everyday Joe. I will stand out because I can still score. I can still pass, stuff like that. If you put me on a court with hoopers at this day and age, like some guys that play pro still, stuff like that, it's like, why the fuck is he out there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a big difference. Yeah. It's a big difference. Unless you got me in the corner just shooting, spine up shooting, I'll be fine with that. But when it comes on defense, because my knees ain't good and it's hard for me to move lateral, it's like, yo, get him out the game, man.
Yeah, well, when you're 6'7", playing against average people is pretty easy, you know?
Yeah, I can put my hand up on everybody. Little matter. Things like that. Yeah. I could rebound easy without having to jump. People are just like...
just tapping it around. All right, yo, I want to hit you with some rapid-fire questions. So we'll hit you with questions and just first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
To start off, who's your fit? Like, you got the night off, no work the next day. You're having a nice drink at home. I know you poured that Henny nice and dry. Wife's not around. She's off doing her own thing. And the Knicks are not playing. What team are you watching?
Lakers.
Okay, aside from the Lakers, these are too easy. I want someone like nice.
Oh, if I wasn't watching
like a league pass, darling.
If I wasn't watching the Lakers, who else?
No Lakers, no Knicks.
No Lakers, no Knicks. Oh man, it'll probably be Boston. Even though I'm not a Boston fan, but Tatum has a really nice game to him. Or it would be Dame. Dame's excited. I still feel Dame's underrated.
For sure. So would you rather live in New York or Toronto? And this is New York without the championship.
Would I rather live in New York or Toronto? Are you talking about like real world terms or are we talking about just for sports? Because if this is real world terms, it's Toronto all day. You know what I mean? I don't know if you've been watching the news lately, but like, no, I mean, they just... Killing people that look like me on a daily basis. So I'm just like, I was this way. I can cheer from any team around the world. You know what I mean? If it's just straight sports wise, that's tough because I've been to Raptors games and the Raptors fans are great fans. But then again, like, it's the Mecca. You know what I mean? So I will have to give New York the slight edge and go with New York.
For sports.
I
can't wait for the day where you're banned from MSG, like Spike. And just like for nothing at all. They're just not going to let you win. Oh, man. All right. What's your favorite spot in Toronto to like chill, to eat, grab a...
During COVID now, it's the kitchen. So I do all my drinking and chilling that now in the house. Before COVID, I like Lavelle. It's the rooftop. And it's great scenery. It's just a nice laid back location.
Yeah. So what is the first thing you're going to do when the pandemic is over? You're out of the lockdown. You might have to wear a mask, but where do you go? What do you do?
First, I'm going to New York. Going downtown, going to a bar, getting shit faced with strangers. We made it. We here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Drinks all around. Hop on the bar. Go crazy. After that, going somewhere to travel. Going somewhere warm. Going somewhere. Going to a beach. That's the one thing Canada is really missing. They don't have no beaches in this country. No good beaches. No popular beaches, as you would say. Yeah, things y'all call beaches, but just like clean dirt, man. And some rocks.
Yeah.
And a lake. It'll be to a bar. I just love the opportunity again. I used to do it a lot, just drink with some strangers. And it's like you have a great drunk night and it felt like you know them your whole life, and then you never see them again. And then go to a beach somewhere warm, probably like Tulum or something.
You've had a long like international career. What was the best place that you played? So either the best talent you played against, best place that you lived, teams that take care of you.
So overall, it would be Japan. Japan was my favorite overall experience. Competition-wise, the best competition that I played against would either be in Canada or Argentina. And then just like outside of ball life-wise, it would be Japan or Ecuador. Because Ecuador, in the town I was in, I was like LeBron. That's how they treated me. So parties were off the hook, boy. Good times.
Did you ever get mistaken for or called Kobe when you were in Japan and that kind of stuff?
No. Japan, they understand stuff. But they're very respectful. China? Oh, my God. I hate that place, man. Like, everybody. Not in the major cities because they're used to seeing foreigners.
Yeah.
So not your Shanghai's, Guangzhou's, but like in BG and like in the smaller province, it's like, oh my God, if you look a shade of black, it's like Kobe. You know what I mean? And then they're just touching you and grabbing you and breaking into your room at night. It's just, yeah, man.
Breaking into your room?
I told you that story.
No, I don't know this.
Yeah, it was on the podcast.
Me and my teammate, we was on the road, so we was in a hotel. I guess the fans found out where my team was staying at. So it was like midnight. You know what I mean? Like, he's in his bed, I'm in my bed, in this old, inky-ass hotel, and I'm about to go to sleep. So I'm in my drawer. It's like midnight. I'm about to go to sleep. I turn on the TV. Boom. Door just kicks open. Whole fucking family just comes in. Mom, pops, two little kids. They throw a baby on my lap. Other kid hop on top of the bed with my other teammate. They just start taking pictures of us. Like, I'm sure somewhere on the internet is a picture of me holding a little Chinese baby in my drawers. Like, it was just awkward. Like, I'm like we're both sorry. And like, what the hell is going on? And then they just leave a big box of bread. Imagine a moving type box and just fill with like moves of bread.
Like sweetbreads and shit?
Yeah, and they just like bow and they just bounce. It happened like in a 5-minute span. We're like, we both just looking at each other like, what the fuck happened? It's like confused, and then became anger, and then we're like calling the manager, calling our agents, like, yo, what the fuck's going on? So it was like,
how could you let this happen?
Yeah, it was like stuff like that. But stuff like that happened to me so much in China. Like, because of China, I can never go to a zoo ever again, because like they treated me like I was an animal in the zoo. Like, we're sitting at a restaurant, they put us in the front of the restaurant, right by the window. And then it's just like, man, people start flooding and like banging on the, like, you ever been to the zoo and they feed the animal and the kids and everybody start banging on the window because you want to take the picture of you looking? It was like that. They banging on the window. They got the kids on their shoulder taking picture. And it just like, you know what I mean?
Wild.
People start bringing food over to us. Like, they want us to eat some more, to take some more pictures. I'm like, yo, son, like, it was just, you know, it was awkward. Even the club experience was awkward, man. Every time I thought I was having a good time, some dumb shit would happen. Like, girl put a fucking live scorpion on my chest. And I'm like, yo, man. Like, yo, what is going on?
I think we're going to have to save that for another pod. But last question before we wrap up. Mount Rushmore of players.
Oh. Does it have to be in order? Can I just give you four?
Just go four. That's your four.
LeBron. Jordan. I'm gonna go with Wilt. I feel like Wilt doesn't get enough love, man. I really feel like he does not get enough love. And then fourth. That is tough.
Don't say Julius Randle yet.
I feel like Walt Frazier is like some New York legend, you know?
Nah. Well, when it comes to the Mount Rushmore, I have to be unbiased. I'ma say probably Magic. Probably, man. That was probably be my four. I would love to put a New Yorker on there. I'd love to put Black Jesus up there. But unfortunately, nah, I can't lie to myself. Like, I can lie to myself so much.
No, Jordan's like kind of a New Yorker, if you want to count it.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people to be like, oh man, he took a trip to New York. He's a New Yorker. He was like, he's born here. And then he was
born here and left like 2 months later.
People try to do that with Melo. I'm like, nah, Mel's from BMO, man. Like, don't.
Yeah, Mel's got a tattoo of West Baltimore on his neck, man. Where he's
like his first 3 years in New York or 4 years in New York, something like that, before they moved to Baltimore. It was something like that.
Yeah.
And so people are like, oh, he's from New York. I'm like, no, he isn't, man. Like, stop that. If New Yorkers could, everybody be from New York. You know what I mean? They'd be like, you know what I mean? Let this pod go viral. They'd be like, oh, Darryl was once on the show. So Peter and Raj, you're originally from New York. Because like they just start pulling shit out the air, man.
I'm wearing a Yankees fitted, man.
There you go. They'd be like, oh, yeah, you see the Yankees fitted? New York. don't let that Toronto shit fool you.
All right, Darryl, man. Thanks a lot for coming out. This is dope. It was a real pleasure.
Appreciate y'all having me again, man.
So it was a good time. Being
in the podcast, keep doing your thing, man. Thanks for having me.